Blog Talk Radio.
Hello everyone, I'm Joe Cristiano and welcome to Liberty Talk Radio, your radio reason and independent streaming internet radio station and libertarian voice broadcasting 24 hours a day, 7 days a week from our studio in Tulsa, Oklahoma to around the world. This broadcast is being brought to you live on Sunday, October 7, 2007. It is now about 8.01 p.m. Central Daylight Time in the good old USA. Liberty Talk Radio is your antidote to popular talk radio. Here you are expected to do more than just listen. You are expected to think. Although we broadcast from the United States, libertarian principles of individual freedom and responsibility are universal and apply to your area of residence, be it New York, Bangkok, Berlin, or Stalingrad. Folks, it's time for us to take back control of our government now before this bureaucratic, oversized, and self-serving federal government starves us of our property, our freedom, our rights, and our liberty. To do this, we must shed conventional thinking regarding our political structure. We need to be revolutionaries in thought, dissidents in action. Only after we recognize what our government is doing to our freedom and our Constitution will we start taking it back. And this program is just about that. Good evening, everyone. During our live broadcast, we invite you to call 646-652-4620 and we'll take your comments while on the air. At other times, you may call 903-551-2186 to leave a voice message. Of course, you may send us email at any time to comments@libertytalkradio.com. We will try to respond to your questions during our next broadcast. In addition to accessing Liberty Talk Radio from our website, you may now access our broadcast from blogtalkradio.com/Liberty Talk Radio. I also encourage you to get educated on economic issues. Go to Andy Sutton's website, mytwocentsonline.com. That's mytwocentsonline.com. That two is a numeric two, by the way. He discusses economic issues and how they affect you. You can also listen to his commentary on blogtalkradio.com/my2cents. And folks, today, in today's day and age, with the credit crisis that we have, that has not been ameliorated yet with the Federal Reserve's reduction of 50 basis points, it has not hit yet. We have not seen the effects of the credit crunch of printing all of this phony money for years. We haven't seen the consequences. We haven't felt the consequences to it yet. So hold on, be informed, be ready, be prepared. Okay? Well, good evening, everyone. This evening, I would like to talk a little bit about people and money. We were going to have about a half-hour broadcast. I'd like to just touch on a subject that we've touched on before, possibly take a different tact on it. There seems to be a misunderstanding of the concept of freedom and its relationship to money. Now, how do I know that? Well, when I speak with people, and I do get to speak to many people, even people that I know relatively well, and I see often, they give me a clue as to what the perception is out there regarding money and banking. I want to start off by reading a headline from the Miami Herald. Actually, it's the MiamiHerald.com. The headline reads this: National Debt, U.S. $10 trillion in red. Congress raised the limit once again as U.S. debt nears $10 trillion. That's about $30,000 for every American. That's $30,000. Now, we can just say that and say, well, big deal. 30,000, 10,000, zero, 50,000, a million, what difference does it make? What we don't understand is that when the government goes into debt, this is going to be paid for through inflation. And inflation is a hidden tax. Now, we may not pay for all of this, but we are starting to pay for it, and our children would pay for it. So the government really never does anything other than indentures its citizens. It is important to understand that your freedom means your freedom in every respect. If, in fact, I have money in my wallet, but that money is subject to the vagaries of a government, whereby they can dictate what that money is worth, what they are in fact doing is they are putting a value, or they are changing the value of my efforts, of my labor, of my work, and they are dictating whether or not I am worth anything or how much I am worth. That does not fall within the confines of a free nation. This nation is for, of, and by the people. Well, it used to be, it was supposed to be, it is not any longer. Folks, we are now officially an empire. There is a book that I'm going to urge everyone to read. It's called Nemesis, The Last Days of the American Republic by Chalmers Johnson. If you read that, you will understand exactly the point that I am making. You will understand the consequences of government action. For example, if you ask the average citizen how many U.S. military bases are there overseas that we know of, in other words, the documented ones, not the stealth ones, and there are many of those. No one knows the exact amount. But if you ask the citizen, average citizen, or even if you asked your congressman or your senator, they would not know the answer. If they did know the answer, if your congressman or senator did know the answer, they would be reluctant to tell you, in fear of what your response might be. Now, you may not punch them in the nose or get angry or swear at them, but you certainly would go home and think to yourself, that is the last time I will vote for that clown because he is allowing this to exist. Now, I'm going to give you this number, and I want you to digest this number because this number is in direct relationship to what money is and what money represents. Now, we have 737 documented bases. There are numerous undocumented stealth bases around the world. Now, let's play a game and let's just assume that we have only 800 bases around the world. Now, these are non-U.S. bases. These do not include the bases within the confines of the United States or its territories. So, now we're talking a real large number. To put this in perspective, we have 192 nations in the world, 193, if you include the Vatican. Now, we have somewhere around 800 military bases. Now, they're all not in one nation, you know. So they're spread out pretty well around the world. So when the clowns in office, and I have to call them clowns because there is no other way to describe these clowns, these people, when they talk about the need to initiate a draft, which costs money, which means that money comes from you and me, that the government does not have, but is willing to spend because they will tax us through the hidden tax of inflation again, that means that they need to increase the number of troops that we have. That is the purpose for the draft. why would we have to do that if we have 800 bases around the world, of which we should have, according to our Constitution, absolutely none? Now, to operate those bases, you need military fighting personnel to be there, to guard it. And of course, if it's a military base, that means you have military personnel there. And you also have support personnel, both governmental, contractors, you have affiliated people, employed in the United States in government-type jobs, supporting or coordinating the activities of those bases. Now, we are talking, I have no idea what the number of people are, but we are talking a monumental number of people. If there are 100 people per base, 100 times 800 is 80,000. That's 80,000 people. And folks, listen, if you have the answer, please call in. I'm guessing. No one has the answers to these things. The Pentagon wouldn't give you these answers in fear of the reprisal. We know that. So we're talking 80,000 people that should not even be where they are today. And yet Congress has the audacity to ask us to fund, using our money, the money that's in our wallets, which represent nothing, by the way, to fund an additional 100,000 troops. Now, do you ever hear the mention of the illegal? And they all are the illegal bases around the world. And most of them, if not all, in my opinion, they are all illegal. They are all unconstitutional. And they cost money. The only way that the government can support or be an empire is if it debases its own currency. Now we go back to what is money again. Money should be based on something of value. There is nothing of value behind our currency. You can say it's the full faith and credit of the United States. Well, if the full faith and credit of the United States represents an institution which is $10 trillion in debt, folks, including myself, have no comprehension of what $10 trillion represents. It is such a large amount. If we stacked $1 bills just flat, back to front, brand new bills, and stacked them up, $1 trillion would go to the moon and back, I think, six times. No, I'm sorry. I made a mistake. I think that represents something like $4 trillion. But it can go back and forth to the moon about a dozen times. This is just paper sitting on top of it. This is not end to end. This is flat, sitting on your desk, putting $1 bill on top of another dollar bill. It would go back and forth to the moon several times. That would represent $10 trillion. The moon, folks, is 220,000 miles away in space. Now, we cannot imagine that amount of money, but that's how much the government is in debt. Now, that's only the immediate debt. It's not the unfunded debt. When we include the unfunded debt, it's somewhere around $57 trillion, and someone had mentioned that it would go to Pluto. That's how far it would go out, $57 trillion. In fact, we talk about the money we have on wallet is backed by the full faith and credit of the United States. If you wanted to sell, the planet Earth, you'd have a hard time getting $57 trillion for it. I mean, the amount is so astronomical. And yet we just roll along. Now, we earn money because that's the medium of exchange here in the United States. We put it in our wallet and we save it. That is the worst thing that you can do right now. I have a friend of mine who's made a considerable amount of money. We've been talking about this. Her and her husband have done absolutely nothing. And they keep on putting their money away. For the past 2 years, they've been putting the money away and they have it in treasuries and in savings accounts. They have lost a literal fortune a good, not a fortune, but a good portion of that money in the past 2 years. Not only through inflation, not only have they been taxed on the interest, but the value of the dollar has decreased substantially. It would not surprise me if they lost about one-third of the value of their money. Had they placed the money and invested in real money, that money would be worth near double what it's really worth today. That gives you an idea of what money is. I challenge everyone out there, go to your banker and ask your banker, please explain money to me. I don't understand what a Federal Reserve note is, but if they do so, don't accept any answer like, well, the Federal Reserve, you know, monetizes the debt, which is then sent to the central banks and the central bank. Say, I don't understand that. Do it in Dick and Jane language so I understand what each step represents. Tell me what you mean by monetizing debt. What do you mean by that? What does that have to do with money? I will venture to say, and I'll make people bets, that if you go to your banker, you know, other than if a person who's an economist or something like that who studies the Federal Reserve, but if you go to your banker, he will have absolutely no idea how to answer that question. You see, even bankers have no idea what money is worth, which is nothing. They have no idea really where it comes from. Now, the owners of the banks know where it comes from. All they know is they fill out some forms and they get some more money when they need it to give out loans. But they have no concept. The people behind the desk, and I'm not even talking about the tellers. I'm talking about the manager people, you know, behind the desk and in the offices. Not the owners of the banks. They know where it comes from. They know it's a phony job. That's why here in Tulsa, you will find a bank, or not a bank, but you will find 1 to 3 banks on every single major corner. Because you cannot go wrong. They print money, give it to the bank. The bank makes money. If the bank goes bust, guess what? You and I pay for it. I mean, it's a guaranteed money-making machine. And that's why there's banks sprouting up all over the place. Now, see, folks, this is all going to come to an end. This is unfortunate. It's going to come to an end. We are an empire. We are no longer a republic. We gave up the republic after World War II. We decided to become an empire. And as all empires go, empires fail. And when they fail hard. They run into financial crisis. They are hated around the world. They have no friends. The alliances they have are all based on money. And you know as well as I do, when you have a relationship that's based on money, you know, on, you know, what can you do for me now type of money, those are very shallow relationships. And they turn on a dime. So here we have this whole economy, which is humming along, and yet the financial foundation for this economy is based on a fraudulent money supply. Now, it sounds crazy. I know it sounds absolutely nutty, but it's the case. I would love for someone to call in, write in, and tell me I'm absolutely wrong and explain it to me in Dick and Jane language. Don't explain it to me in a manner that I will not understand, but in a way that the average Joe Blow can understand. First of all, I'm not that smart. I'm not smart at all. I need things spelled out to me. And if I don't understand them, I'm at least smart enough to know that I don't understand them. That separates me from most people. And I will tell you, I'm sorry, I do not understand. I have no shame in that regard whatsoever. If I don't know, I'll say, I'm sorry, I just do not know. For 4,000 years, the world based currency on something of value, mostly silver and gold. It could be, and some cultures had something else, but they had something of value to back up their money. You see, if we were on any standard whatsoever, and I say standard, if you use the word standard, you already have said a mouthful. Because when you say standard, that denotes that there is some parameters. I mean that it just like a person has a standard of quality or a standard of workmanship or a standard of production, that means there are parameters in which you work. Our currency has no standard whatsoever. How can it be? If a bank needs more money, all they do is show that they've loaned money. They show the asset that represents that loan, and the bank gives them 10 times the amount of the loan. And they just, it exponentially goes up and up and up, and this is why we have this crisis on our hand. You see, the banks could make more money by lending out to people to buy homes. The homes are purportedly used as security. Then they securitize, they package up, they securitize those loans, they package them and sell them to a third party, a financial house. They collect their money, they're out of the business altogether. They've made a fortune just packaging a bunch of bad loans. And this is being sold and repackaged and sold and repackaged. And then the hedge funds came in, they bought into it, and bingo, Explosion City. It's beautiful. It is so stupid, it's ridiculous. And yet we buy into it every time. Now, if you listen to CNBC News, it's supposed to be the financial network, tell you what's going on, you rarely will hear anyone talk about this. And the reason being is that CNBC exists by virtue of its sponsors. If it had no sponsors at all, if every one of its sponsors tonight and called up and said, oh, by the way, we are discontinuing our advertisements and our sponsorship to your program, there would not even be a regret, a last program regret saying, folks, I'm sorry, this is our last program. You would turn on CNBC News, whatever station it would channel it would be on for you, and you'd see that round circle with the number and a hum, you know, and it'd say, you know, I'm sorry, you know, the program's no longer being aired. They wouldn't spend 1 minute, one more second airing that program. And yet, when you hear the people on CNBC News, what do they talk about? They talk about how wonderful things are and how Bernanke saved the nation by lowering the interest rate 50 basis points. And as a result, you know, we're on the way to recovery now. The worst is over. And now what you should do is buy into their funds. And this is what they believe will be doing well in the next 3 to 6 months. Never, ever a negative word. Because if there was any negative words, people would sell out of their securities, or they would run, they would hide their money, they would convert it or put it overseas. Now people say, well, if I have money, what should I do with it? Well, I say, get rid of it. When they say, well, get rid of it, what do you mean? Well, I guess what I would do is I would do what the foreigners do when they have a lot of money. They have a lot of U.S. cash. They're doing three things primarily, and I'm just saying three things in general. One, they're converting their cash to other currencies, currencies that they feel are not as risky as the U.S. dollar is. Now, remember, the U.S. dollar is the world currency, but it's losing that edge, just like the British pound lost it back before around World War I, 75 years ago, 80 years ago. The second thing that they're doing is they are investing back in the United States, but they are investing in large multinational corporations like General Electric, Boeing, big companies. You know, the Dow Jones, the Fortune 500, big jobos. Because those companies have very, very little debt, have plenty of cash on hand, and they produce something of value. They are converting worthless dollars to something of value. All right, so you can do two things so far. You can buy other currencies or you can buy into equities. Now, the third thing they're doing, and the people of their countries are starting to do, is they're starting to buy precious metals, primarily gold and silver. And the reason why they're doing that is they know that they will never lose its store of value. Now, that is what money truly represents. Now, if foreign nations who hold billions upon billions of dollars of U.S. money, billions of U.S. dollars, and they are divesting themselves of the U.S. dollar, what should you be doing? Unfortunately, we have been drilled, we have been brainwashed to think that the U.S. dollar is as good as gold. Well, it used to be as good as gold, folks, when we were on a gold standard. Now it is worthless. It is not only worthless, it represents debt. It's almost like saying, hey, I have a dollar in my pocket here. It represents $10 in debt. Isn't that wonderful? It doesn't make any sense. In fact, if you understood how money was made, how it was created, not made, but how it was created, and how it worked through the system, no matter how much you studied it, you wouldn't really understand it. If you understood it, you'd say to yourself, but it doesn't make any sense. So no matter whether you understand it or not, it's still nonsensical. And my point is that why would you take your efforts, your future security, and put it in something that you don't even understand? This is the true tragedy of our currency. Our currency will collapse. That's guaranteed. And I can say that with certainty only because we have become an empire like every other empire. I think we've thrown so far, you know, just back in the 1990s, in a 43-day period, according to in that book Nemesis by Chalmers Johnson, I've got the tonnage, but something like 79,000 tons of bombs on Iraq. Destroyed the entire nation, destroyed all of its infrastructure. Now, folks, only a brutal empire would do that. The soldiers weren't harmed so much as the citizens. And we here in the United States, we go, oh, look how good we are. Geez, we have such a strong army, and those are such bad people, and we're making the world right. Every empire has done the same thing. We're doing it because we're better, we're right, we're going to spread democracy, freedom, and prosperity around the world. They've been saying that for 4,000 years, and not one empire has ever succeeded. They've all overextended themselves, overregulated, were hated by everyone, and debased their currency. And that's exactly where we are now. So why do you put so much faith and effort in making money and yet have no idea what it represents? You should ask yourself that question. Well, now that you've tuned in and you found out, it's time for you to do something about it. This coming Thursday morning at 6:30 Central Daylight Time, we're going to talk on the subject of the cigarette tax and its insanity, and ethanol and its insanity, and how the United States and the United States government and its regulation once again has shown that we cannot run our country through Washington. And it's just continuing to erode the liberty and freedom of the individual. And that's about it. Well, that's it for this evening, folks. This is the end of today's broadcast. We'd like to thank Ranch Acres Audiology for their financial support, and we'd like to thank you for listening in. You can further the cause of liberty by recommending this program to your friends, and let us hear from you. Our email address is comments@libertytalkradio.com, or phone in your questions to 903-551-2186. Remember, you are either allowing your liberties to be taken away, or you're striving to protect them. Unfortunately, there's no middle ground. And remember, don't steal. The government hates competition. Until Thursday morning at 6:30 a.m., stay well, stay tuned.